You're watching and or listening to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly VeteransNewsNet.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Talk or text to us now at SkidRowRadioStudio.com, 1-800-893-9562 or 1-310-266-9465. And now, here's your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.
Well, hello and welcome to Skid Row Studios Radio. Thank you so much for that introduction. It was just perfect. All those good things. The music was presented to you by my daughter, Lydia Clark, who happens to be, I think, in Santa Fe, New Mexico now. So we're going to do our introductions a little differently. I'm going to start to my left and go around. Just say your name quickly, and then we'll come back and we'll do an in-depth thing. So, you are?
Scott Brewer with Peace Now.
I am allegedly Jeff Norman.
Rose Hugh.
Mary Duda with Moonplay Games.
Mark Prince Valley with Trident Communications.
David Bush around Venice, they're calling me the love man.
Okay. All right. Now, Scotty, this program basically is devoted to your program, which is Peace Now, and you're going after how many signatures?
1 billion, buddy.
That's B as in billion?
That's a billion people from every country in the world.
Wow. So could you tell me, introduce the people across the table from me, and we'll talk with them. Mary, let's begin with Mary, okay? Talk about Mary a little bit.
Mary Duda is a wonderful spirit and mm-hmm. a peace advocate that recognizes the conflict and terror and violence that is in so many children's games. Mm-hmm. And she has a wonderful platform at Moonplay Games that is entertaining for children and is much more peaceful.
Well, Mary, we had a really wonderful conversation coming from Subways.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so could you kind of go over your background, what you're doing and what you want to do?
Well, I've been an advocate for nonviolence in video games for over 20 years now. And when I started that advocacy, there wasn't really any research to support it. We now have found over the last 10 years that there's a lot of research supporting the aspect that when you practice violence in games, you actually do violence in the world. Mm-hmm. And so the alternative is not to have censorship, but it's to create games that are fun, that promote nonviolence, that promote peace. And so one of the properties that I'm designing is a racing game on the moon, where kids get to be in outer space and do fun things. Well, as they do them, they get to create the future, but create it in a way where we don't actually endorse violence. You're not going to be killing people on the moon. You're actually going to be building colonies and having fun and supporting each other and inventing something new. You know, NASA, I've worked with many times, and they have a good way of saying we've made ourselves very boring. So doing these types of games gets kids energized that there could be a future that they can build and own. And that's really what it's all about.
Well, there's been a lot of controversy ever since I can remember about that we're teaching our kids violence. Could you talk a little more about that?
Well, we are. And you see, when we're kids, we used mm-hmm. to play without having video games. There was a world without video games. And the fact is that when you were playing, you were imagining. And you were playing with, say, cowboys and Indians, or you're playing combat. That's all far different than practicing continual violence that you're being fed through video games. The reason is you're actually playing violence with no effect of violence. Now, when you're wrestling with your brothers and sisters, somebody might get hurt. There is an effect. But there is no effect when you're playing the games. Therefore, you're desensitized. It whitewashes it. Now, America's Army knows this very well. In fact, as you know, back in early 2000, they actually launched AmericansArmy.com, which was targeted as a free game to kids which couldn't afford games. And so you're talking about impoverished kids recruiting them by using games. Now, that's not really a good thing.
I was there outside when the Army was introducing that and signing up kids on the very spot by watching those games.
That's right. And did you know that they're targeting kids younger than the legal mm-hmm. age that they're supposed to be targeting? You know, there's a law enacted which says they are not supposed to target kids under the age of 17 with recruiting. And in fact, this game is targeting 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds. This is not even legal what they're doing. I believe the ACLU has challenged them on this because of that fact. And so what they do then is they make the games where the violence in the game seem lessened. So it's even worse because now the kids are playing soldier. They have actual simulations of the weapons that the military is using. They're actual weapons in the game. And they get the kids to practice that behavior. If you talk to the veterans that have been coming back, many of them have played this game. And they say that when they were actually in the battlefield, they didn't really feel uncomfortable because they had played this game so much that it seemed normal. They didn't realize when they were shooting, they were really shooting, because they were so used to doing it with the game.
Well, as you know, I spent a little time in the Marine Corps in combat, and I go down to Camp Pendleton quite often. We have a virtual reality war zone down there.
Yes.
And it's probably one of the biggest virtual reality games you could ever play. And it's so real that if you get shot, you think you've been shot. It's that real. So these things are coming down through that. Now, some of the rest of you, have you had any experience with video games? Rose, I know that you play a video game that you just beat the daylights out of me. What was that? Pac-Man. She's a Pac-Man expert.
Yes, I like Pac-Man. And according to Buddy, I guess he thought I was pretty good at it. I enjoyed it. I don't see any violence coming out of that one. I think it encourages a little bit of healthy competitiveness. There is such a thing. I liked it. What's your take on Pac-Man? I love it.
Well, there's a big difference between playing a game like Pac-Man mm-hmm. and playing, World of Warcraft or Gears of War.
Right.
It's a huge difference because you're playing with an abstract character. It's more like a cartoon character that you're strategizing a game with. What we're talking about is actually playing soldier, where you have the actual weapon and you're killing with no consequence. Mm-hmm. And if you're killed, you just hit the reset button. And so, it's not reality. And then what's happening is the recruiting, then they go into the schools and have them live the dream. So the ad campaign matches the actual game campaign. And so it's extremely been effective mm-hmm. for recruiting. And many times there's been interviews that have been done where actual soldiers have said they didn't even think of going into the military, except that they start playing this game, which encouraged them to do it. And so a study, actually one of the most recent studies by the Iowa State University, by Professor Craig Anderson, cited after studying 3,000 children over a period of 3 years, boys and girls, they could have absolute evidence of increased aggressive behavior patterns based on violent game use.
I believe it.
Could I ask a question? In your studies, I think that, do you find that, okay, I think it's interesting that you enjoy Pac-Man. A lot of women are told, not to express themselves, suppress your feelings, and there's a lot of suppression of women in our society. Do you know of research that looks at the way, different way that men and women react to games, and especially women who would classify themselves as empowered versus women who maybe might score as being abused and oppressed?
Well, this recent study that was done by Iowa State University did actually study boys and girls. And what they found is that there is really no difference in the aggressive behavior pattern of using the violent games. In general, the use of games for an older demographic of women, would not play these games to the extent that their male counterparts would.
Interesting.
Well, one thing I think that's common between both genders is interest in conflict. Conflict, of course, is a very natural part of life. And a lot of folks, including me, believe that it's one of the key elements to telling any kind of a story, no matter what the medium is. So when you say you want to replace the violence with fun, I'm wondering to what extent you might agree with what I just said, and do you, in other words, do you try to create some sort of a conflict that doesn't necessarily include in the game some element of conflict that doesn't necessarily glorify violence.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with competition. Competition is how we learn. So as an example, with the Moon Racing game, just as any racing game, you would be competing. And you might actually hurt the other vehicle in some way. You would learn how to actually make the vehicle better. So there is competition. And competition is fun. We all like competition. But we don't have to encourage, you know, blowing up astronauts and bludgeoning them. And some of the games that you see out there, I mean, it's an easy shot at Grand Theft Auto because it's just so horrible what they do in that game. They're basically getting kids to practice being gangsters. And violence has no consequence. And what we're saying is, okay, we understand that with parents' intervention, kids know the difference. However, when you're practicing that behavior ongoing, you practice violence, you will know how to do violence. Whether you enact the violence has to do with a lot of other factors, but it's there.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of teaching conflict resolution to kids. I mean, I think it should be made a regular part of school curriculum. Is that something that Peace Now deals with at all, in general?
Not so much. We do have an educational aspect. The only component of that educational aspect for children is this wonderful book by David Small called Ruby May Has Something to Say. And it's about a woman in a small town. It's so small that if you whisper, you can hear it all the way on the other. And but it has one special thing. It is the universal headquarters of world peace. So, and then it builds off that, and she has a speech impediment. And the book teaches, one, the heroine is a woman. She has a speech impediment, which she overcomes. And her dream is to speak at the United Nations about world peace. So this is a children's book that teaches empowerment, overcoming obstacles, and world peace. So that is our component of that may address something along children's ideas. But Peace Now is collecting 1 billion signatures in support of the creation of peace departments. And we have other programs with that. But I had Mary here because as we embrace all of the creativity that is within all of us in this world, we have to look, if we're going to be peaceful, the ideas that are brought forth by other people. You know, we have to respect one another's opinions and embrace the creativity that's there. That's how we have prosperity, and that's how we grow peace. So I hope that asks.
Yeah, I mean, it made me think of a book that Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector, wrote called Waging Peace, The Art of War for the Anti-War Movement. And so Buddy, in particular, being a veteran who is now somewhat of a peace activist, if that's the right way to characterize it.
Well, you could lay it on a whole lot thicker.
Right. So do you agree that the principles of the art of war could be applied to the peace movement?
Well, the same principles in terms of organization, the same principles in terms of leadership, charisma, equipment, money. In fact, I said when I got out of Korea that if they'd have spent the same amount of money I'm going to get my teeth, I can talk, okay? So if they'd have spent the same amount of money for me as a pastor and a minister as they spent for me in the Marine Corps, it would be thousands of dollars to do that. So this gets back to a peace department that we're talking about. But one thing, when you both were talking about competition, we are naturally competitive, but I encountered something very interesting. I ran the war on poverty for the Hickory Apache tribe in Dulce, New Mexico. And every year they have a meeting of two clans within their own tribe called the Reds and the Blacks. Okay, and the Whites. I'm sorry, the Reds and the Whites. So, and they run races. So I was a member of the Red Clan, and so I've got my face all smeared with red. And so just before the race started, because everybody knew, quote unquote, that I could outrun anybody in the tribe. So Charlie V. Hill, the chairman of the tribe, said, Buddy, don't win. tie. He said, because if you win, you will embarrass your brother. I thought, what a beautiful concept. So I ran the race. I ran it back and forth and back and forth. But I managed to tie through that. Because this way, I did not embarrass my brother. So there's a lot to be said about some of the different cultures and how they look at competition. So I thought I might share that with you. So most of the time, I'm trying to figure out how not to embarrass any of you on this program. Are we doing okay so far?
Well, you've already crushed me, and I feel guilty for understating your commitment to peace.
Well, listen, are you sure you're not Jewish?
I will neither confirm nor deny that.
I think the girl in the book was Jewish. She was Moses. She has a stuttering problem.
Yes, he did. He sure did. He said, Lord, would you send me? I said, it's a stutter. Okay. Well, speaking of stuttering, when I was in Bible college, I couldn't speak because I was hitting the top with a hand grenade. So they put me in a room with a guy. I roomed with a guy. He stuttered. Now, you're talking about two guys trying to get a date? We'd walk up, and I'd be nothing, and he'd go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. We couldn't buy, beg, or steal a date.
I'm telling you, you need God's help for that.
He did okay. Mark, you haven't said anything.
That's correct. Not yet. I'm here, actually, in support of Scott and the Peace Now organization. I represent Trident Communications. We're a high-profile consulting firm doing marketing, other communications work. And we were introduced to Scott for his inaugural event that he put on June 11th at the New Road School, which was actually a very, very unique and powerful movement. One of the things that I had done in my past is I've been a previous past president and chairman of the board of a number of national organizations, such as the United Nations Association, a branch in Connecticut, the American Red Cross, a branch again in Connecticut, the PTA, Parent Teacher Association, the branch again in Connecticut, where I'm originally from. And I've been able to put together a number of different organizations that have a peace proponent or a peace-themed initiative or several initiatives fairly successfully to promote them. And so when we had learned of Scott and his Peace Now, what I wanted to do is bring together some of those past organizations I had a relationship with and have them take part in the inaugural event on this past June 11th and gear it together so that they can do more with Scott and with Peace Now in the future. So one of the things that we had done was we'd introduced an organization called the Art Miles Mural Project for Peace, run by Joanne Toffolis, who lives in San Diego.
Was part of that mural at the celebration? Is that part of that mural there?
We had a number of murals. There are over 4,000 murals.
Okay.
So we had actually six of those murals at the celebration.
There we go.
At Scott's inaugural event on display at the New Road School. and Joanne had recognized the importance of Peace Now in its mission and has actually offered to assist Peace Now for other displays, other venues, et cetera, to bring her murals and have those displayed. And there's some very, very touching and powerful murals that are part of this entire project. Again, there are over 4,000 of these murals that have been done, and they're almost exclusively created by children, which makes them amazing because you don't have adults forcing their perspective on children. You allow the children to almost freelance and work freely and discuss what is, and there's quite a bit that goes to it. The other thing that I brought in was UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. They're actually headquartered in Paris, France, and Joanne had been there for the Art Miles for a number of displays and brought those back the day before the inaugural event, and those were the six that we put on display. So UNESCO has seen what Scott and Peace Now has done, has seen what the tenets of his organization are, and has acknowledged officially, not just verbally, but with official UNESCO letter, that they believe that Peace Now is an outstanding organization that they will support. They officially acknowledge it, and they want it to become an organization that serves with them and their culture for peace in the upcoming future, which is a fairly major undertaking, but something that they want to do. So I'm happy to be able to bring those types of things to the table to help peace now and move it forward.
Well, you certainly bring a lot to the table.
Well, thanks.
And one wonders how you have time to sit at any table.
Well, thanks. I try hard.
And thank you for being here. David, you had something to say.
Yeah. The United Nations
Association.
It's just regular citizens.
Correct. It's the nonprofit arm of the United Nations. It's regular citizens throughout the world that have joined together, that are all like-minded and want to support and promote peace for the UN. But it is not funded by the UN. It does take part in a number of initiatives the UN does put forth, but it is composed of normal citizens like you and I.
It must take a lot of passion to be involved in that.
It does. It's definitely enjoyable. It's challenging at times, but definitely enjoyable. Again, because we can recognize organizations like Peace Now and help those organizations move forward.
I think in our lifetime, we've seen so much of a sidelining of the mission of the United Nations, you know, founded by Eleanor Roosevelt.
Right.
And with the great Universal Declaration of Human Rights. I mean, we've seen this, so much of this in our lifetime. And I remember we used to have here in L.A. a very powerful Federalist Society, World Federalist Society, which worked a lot with the U.N. Mm-hmm. My question is, I'm just really curious because a lot of the work that we've done as homeless people has gotten some recognition. There's the U.N. Rapporteur for Human Rights who just recently issued a report, said the number one human rights violation in the United States was against homeless people. Mm-hmm. And being an active and a supporter of the United Nations, do you find a lot of people dismissing that these days? It seems like there's so many people that are out to attack the idea of a world body, or they're attacking the effectiveness. At the same time, they're cutting the funds. I mean, I'd be curious as how, in your work, how do you react to that? How do you deal with it?
Yeah, my perspective is what you're saying is fairly true. Today, in today's society, it's different than it was, say, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, in that it seems we, as a society, become more politicized. People seem to relish labels, whereas before we tried to break those down, break down barriers. So, yeah, I think it's more difficult now than it has been in the past to try and support certain aspects of the UN. It doesn't mean it's not a worthwhile organization and that it now more than ever needs help and support, especially if there is a single initiative or program that you feel and you feel passionate about. You should be able to step forward and offer your help and support for that particular initiative.
Yeah, a lot of... They're fighting right now in Israel and Gaza. Right. And I just got to ask this because here's a nation that was founded with the support of the United Nations. And here's a body that has passed so many resolutions to try to bring peace and to try to mitigate fairly between those organizations. And a lot of people would say that that the United Nations needs to be a little bit more democratic, and they look at the five permanent members of this UN Security Council, that no matter how many times the General Assembly passes a resolution to bring peace and even-handed treatment in the Israel-Palestinian conflict, that it gets vetoed by the United States or one of the other countries. You ever think, any of the groups you're involved with look at, say, maybe it's time to do away with the Security Council veto or the permanent members veto, or to reform that in some way?
Again, the UNA doesn't take a political stance like the UN obviously does.
Mm-hmm.
What the UNA tries to do is develop certain initiatives based on the proponents and the tenets of the UN.
Mm-hmm.
More
democratizing the UN, because right now it's sort of it's hamstrung. I don't think Eleanor Roosevelt herself would be happy with the hamstringing of the United Nations.
And I agree with that. But that's why the UNA becomes an effective proponent because it's not tied into or under the thumb or control of the UN.
And please forgive me. I in no way think that sitting here in Los Angeles have a right to judge anybody in that conflict right now or pick sides.
We're here to have a discussion. That's what's good about being here.
And I hope I don't want to give that impression, certainly if I've slipped over the line to the audience. Forgive me. But I just, we all feel so strongly about this. We're seeing people on both sides being killed and bombed and attacked. And so, I'll let it go with that because we've got so many other things to talk about.
Oh, I think it's good a guy wearing a cardboard hat doesn't want to judge people. That's probably a safe position.
And it's pyramid shaped, so it sort of channels good energy.
Now, commenting on the Israeli-Gaza, what you were just talking about, Israel's prime minister can be quoted saying, when there is no ceasefire, our answer is fire.
That kind of stops the traffic.
Well, they can be quoted as saying that Palestinian officials say Israeli raids have killed 194 people so far. Israel on Tuesday reported its first fatality. This is serious.
I know living on Skid Row, and I've slept off and on Skid Row for over 15 years, and I've been arrested over 20 times.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know that when you find yourself in the county jail, and when you find yourself with armed camps, people who in their communities here in Los Angeles have to join one gang or the other, you look for your friends, and you look for the bystanders in numerous violent situations that I've personally seen and witnessed in jail. It's like they have more sense than our world bodies. Your friends will jump in and pull you apart when you lose your own control over your own self. And that's the tragedy of the world today, is that we are letting these different countries attack one another, and we're not jumping in as the rest of the world saying, pull it apart. They do that on Skid Row. Why can't we do that in the world?
David, today we took a tour of Skid Row. And
we did.
And Scotty, you want to talk about that a little bit? Yeah.
I do, but first I want to, David, when you talk about the conflicts in the world, and we've been talking about what's going on in the Middle East, our movement to get 1 billion signatures is also to get participation from every country in the world. And the website has been up since March. And we've just, with Lebanon, we received our first signatures from Lebanon on Saturday. So we have signatures from 67 countries in just a few months. And as we look at the different countries, and we get, I hear frequently, well, you are all right for peace here, but over there, you know, those radicals or those... our top signature countries is number one is Egypt, then the United States, Indonesia, India, and the United Arab Emirates. So 4 out of the 5 countries that we have signatures from for the creation of peace departments within every government are highly Muslim countries. Yeah. The people, when you said who's going to pull apart these conflicts, we recognize that no matter what the efforts have been by governments and diplomats, that it hasn't stopped what's going on, and it can't be maintained in perpetuality.
Okay, we're going to take a little break here for about a minute, and during that time, we're not allowed to speak or chew gum.
Watching and or listening to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly Veterans News Net.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from
8 to 9 p.m. Talk or text to us now at skidrowstudios.com, 1-800-893-9562, or 1-310-266-9465. And now, here's your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.
Okay, we're back on the air, and thank you so much for putting that little commercial together. And, Jeff, before you leave, we want to give a shout-out. Now, we went down to Vortex today, and, of course, nobody's there, but I showed them the building, and I ran into Michaela, the photographer. So give her a little shout-out, will you?
Well, I would love to give Michaela a shout-out, but I must temper my enthusiasm just a tad, because I'm not sure who Michaela is.
Oh, Michaela is the photographer right next to Vortex.
Ah, okay. Well, let the shouting commence. Hello, Michaela. I'm sure I would love you if I knew you.
Well, okay, Michaela, we do love you, and we want to support you because you're part of our community. You're right next door to Vortex, and so we're going to do a lot of things together. And, Jeff, could you reiterate a little bit about what we're doing down there at Vortex before you leave? He has a program coming up. I think it's called the Jeff Norman Report, after this?
The Norman Report, yeah. The Norman Report. That's next after Buddy's show, sort of the sister show to this. The Vortex is the headquarters for the Veterans Project, where we do some weekly workshops and special events. We have an annual stand-down for veterans where we bring a lot of different services to the veterans in one location instead of making them run all over the place. And this year's stand-down will be on November 15th. And something that just came up today that I want to mention, we'll have more details next week. There's an organization called Operation Help the Help the Homeless. And they are going to have, I think, their fourth annual event. It's a very big event, from what I understand. They feed thousands of people in Skid Row. And they just contacted us today, and it looks like we're going to accommodate them on July 25th and try to get their executive director up on your show, Buddy, perhaps on the 22nd.
That would be nice.
Okay. And before I leave, I just want to salute Scotty and Peace Now. I've worked with a lot of activists over the years, and many of them, frankly, are clueless. And, you know, they sit around singing Kumbaya and drum circles and not much more. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
The Venice drum circle's great.
It is great, but what's wrong is that that's all you do. And Scotty is trying to wage this effort on multiple fronts. And when you wage it on multiple fronts, you have a chance of actually succeeding. And including professionals like Mark is really the key to it. I mean, in a very real sense, I think marketing is everything, or almost everything. And you mentioned before how people use labels to dismiss. And I've found that even though it shouldn't be, in fact, peace itself or peace rhetoric often has a stigma attached to it. So I hope you can come up with some very clever ways to help Scotty reach the kind of person who sort of cringes when they hear peace and think of it as, you know, this utopian, unrealistic, looking at the world through rose-colored glasses kind of a thing.
Yeah, we certainly will do that. One of the things we're going to look at doing is he has a three-pillar stance for peace now, and one has to do with, of course, generating business and allowing businesses to understand how they can become more successful by embracing peace and helping support that. So one of his pillars, which he can describe much better than I can, has to do with bringing businesses in. We're going to help with that. We're going to help with the market. We have one business here in Santa Monica, DSJ Printing, that alone has helped out by doing all the stuff donated to Scott in Peace Now for the event that was held again on June 11th. And we're going to continue doing that.
All right, but I bet the weed is better at the drum circle.
You know, I wouldn't know. I'm actually a straight-edge hippie. I don't do any weed.
All right,
so
if that's
I'm
your story,
really
we'll go with
out
it.
There.
Scott, could you tell us about those three pillars?
Yeah. Be happy to. The first pillar we've spoken about, it is about the creation of peace departments and the infrastructures necessary for governments to have within the walls of government an advocate for peace. Benjamin Rush, one of our founding fathers, came up with the idea. It also is a little more comprehensive than that, but I want to really hone in on the departments of peace, that when we get a billion signatures, we will deliver the petition to not only the United Nations, but to each individual government in the world, because the signatures will have come from the people from every government in the world, from every country. And one special thing about Peace Now is that the global resolution, the actual petition, has already been approved by the Working Committee for the Culture of Peace at the United Nations. So this is credibility. When we get enough signatures, we can bring that into the United Nations and they won't say, who are you? We've never heard of you. They actually worked on the petition for the creation of peace departments. They're waiting for the citizens of the world to endorse mm-hmm. this. That way the political will finally be there to enact departments of peace. And within our government alone, that has been introduced into Congress 50 times and we've never enacted departments of peace. Yeah. The second pillar is economies of peace, which was what Mark was talking about. And I'll address that with money. Money is what is driving so many conflicts in the world today. We are spending $1.48 trillion this year all around the world. And there's a lot of money being made by a few corporations and a few people. And the rest of us are paying that through our taxes and through the sacrifices of our children, sons, and daughters. So if you're going to change anything, you better look at where the money's being going. So we have come up with a certified peace business program where businesses can embrace certain principles that are universally respected. No child labor, no slave labor, gender equity and equality. If we can't figure out how our business is going to affect the environment, then we'll err on the safe side of things so that when we, this balanced approach to business then, we'll say we care about employees, we care about community, we care about the environment, and we care about each other. And when they embrace these principles, which is on our Certified Peace Business Program, they will be certified as a peace business. And then the magical part of this is that as our billion signatures grow and grow and grow, then we'll have a list of certified peace businesses that the people that have signed the petition and care about peace can invest in peace with every purchase they make. If you're going to buy a mattress, you might as well buy it from a company that is certified that they care about peace in the future for our children. So that is the second prong of our approach. And the third prong is peace education. And we have a peace practitioners program, which is in development. It's not up there. It's just a description of it. But what this program will entail is three areas: inner peace, family peace, and community peace. And so each segment will offer lessons from wonderful teachers from the world that recognizing ego and how that affects conflicts. Massage, that so many places in the world, violence in a contact in a family is either correctional with violence or sexual, and that's the only contact that it goes on between a family, violence or sex. So if we have massage, which is therapeutic, you know, when you take a baby and massage the child, it reinforces that bond between parent and child. So when we look at inner peace, family peace, and community peace, those are all aspects of creating a culture of peace, which goes right back to UNESCO and the United Nations, and supporting one another and recognizing that we are a global family and we need to readdress what we think are priorities in this world. And peace should be our number one priority, because with peace, then the money that is being spent on war can be spent on nutrition in infrastructure, in sanitation, in clean water, in electricity, and what list goes on and on and on. And then we won't have any need for violence because the investment is in each other and the creativity, like Mary's ideas. And Mark has worked on so many wonderful things. And Dave is working on the ideas for getting these homeless people shelter and food. And
especially down in Venice these days.
And especially down in Venice. So that's our three pillars.
Well, let's time just always happens so quickly. And I want to make sure everybody gets to say something in the closing remarks. And like you want to do a shout out for a meeting that's coming up, maybe a little wrap up of who you are. And so I'm going to start with Rose and then go to Bobby and go to Mary and Mark and then back to David. And then, I'm going to preempt you all with what's coming down the pike. Okay, we haven't told you, but Scotty and I are going to go to Korea September the 17th to the 19th. That's correct. And what's it going to be, a World Summit of One?
It is the a World Summit of Religious Leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, at Peace Now, we don't endorse any particular religion, or if you're an atheist, or if, no matter what you are, we want your signature. And if you're a peace lover, but just because there someone is religious, this is a collection of all religions come together, leaders from around the world that are going to be talking about peace. And there's wonderful leaders, presidents, past presidents from many countries that are going to be there.
Well, most of you know I'm a pastor, and the men in my church in Idaho Falls, they said, I've never been accused of being religious. In fact, they said, my church member said, if Buddy can be a Christian, anybody can be a Christian. So at any rate, now following through on that, there's a group in town that's been having, are you familiar with the Peace Pilgrims?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Okay, well, the Peace Pilgrims are going to be celebrating September the 6th. They're going up the mountain. And so we're going to be there and work with them. So we decided, we've been trying to figure out what themes we want to use. So our theme from here on out really is just going to be basically peace and war and games and things that we've talked about until then. And then while we're in Korea, all of you can take over the program and just do whatever you like, but be sure and collect money, okay? Okay, so...
like love money.
So let's go. Rose, about a minute. What do you have to say, okay?
Well, I've created a discussion page on Facebook called Veterans Project. Mm-hmm. So if you go there, you can discuss and share ideas, and mm-hmm. it's on Facebook under Veterans Project. I also have a little store that I'm starting up online. If you'd like to email me about it, it's called Roses Trash Bin Treasures @gmail.com. Tell me what you're looking for, odds and ends, miscellaneous items. I might have it for you. I also want to give a shout out for people to look at a good friend of mine's page on Facebook. She was a child, she was a child actress. Her name is Penelope Sudrow. Her last movie was A Nightmare on Elm Street 3. And she has a wonderful page. She is a beautiful person inside and out, and she wants to start her own nonprofit. She's already started it, but bring it into full force. It's for emotional abuse.
Could you share your microphone with Bobby, please? Yeah.
Certainly. Thank you.
All right, yeah, Bobby Buck here. And I'm sure I'm glad I was here to listen in on this and everything, because what I'm doing is what he's already done, is I'm creating my own positive movement called Action. Because I was homeless out here living on Skid Row. I was an 18-year drunk before I moved here from Arkansas and all that stuff. So I've been through a lot of different things myself. So I want to promote and advertise for people doing positive actions. Real nonprofits doing real actions. Because when I was out there, I seen a lot of fakeness and a lot of people just making money off people suffering. They get paid off of suppressing people. So that's why I came up with my term. I want to get my own independent advertising company and advertise and promote for all people doing real actions. So I'm going to get my fundraiser up pretty soon, my online fundraiser. But my website is bobbybuck.com. That's BOBBYBUCK.com. And you go look on that website, you see an interview I did here at Skid Row Studios and explain everything I've been through and everything I want to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Mary?
Well, as I said, I'm working on how do we reinvent education using game technology. And the idea here is basically to put some steam into STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And I'm actually a fine artist as well and have my own gallery. I want to give a shout out to Duda Art Gallery. And what we're doing there is we're using it as a venue to do events. We're going to have Peace Now and do an event with Peace Now. We invite everybody here. And, you know, you can get a hold of me. Just go to last name, D-U-D-A-A-R-T-I-S-T, Duda Artist at gmail.com. And Duda Arts is my art gallery, DudaArts.com. And, you know, we want to use both sides of the brain here. So we want to be able to have the art and the science. Let's not preclude one from the other, you know. So we're looking for the supporters on both sides.
Mark, what can you bring to the table?
As much as I can. We'll start with Trident Communications, the company I co-founded here in Santa Monica. We'll help anyone accomplish almost anything. We are unique in that we can look at a situation, figure out what a solution may be for that situation that others can't. We'll help with marketing, fundraising, crisis management, et cetera. But a shout out will go out to DSJ Printing for all the help they've done and given to Peace Now, to the Art Miles Mural Project, to UNESCO, to Alaya Erickson Consulting, a load of companies and like-minded individuals like myself, Scott, and everyone here around this table definitely did a lot to make that event on June 11th a success for New Road School, and we're counting on doing much more as we move forward to the future.
David?
Well, I've been here on Skid Row Radio, and I think this is the essence of creativity, getting people together who have all of their own, we all have our own little gifts. And we might think of ourselves in our own little compartment. I'm an activist. I'm a business consultant. I'm a software engineer. And creativity is about bringing all of these things together on a show like this and throwing it up in the air and letting all of us at this table and everybody listening to it put it together in our way. And the most important thing doing right now is this.
Yeah. Well, right now we have 6 minutes and 47 seconds left, and Rose is just dying to say something.
No, I meant to give a shout out for a very, very, very dear friend of mine. Everybody needs to check out the Facebook page for Lionel and the initials FM, Rolf, R-O-L-F-E. He is a writer. He writes for Huffington Post. He has many books out. One was very popular and used in English classes called Literary LA. He writes a lot about the history of LA. He is right on politics. I've changed a lot throughout the years because I've followed him and how his thinking is. And I've asked him several times in years past, well, what are they doing here? Well, what about this? What about that? And this is how I believe. And he would say, you believe how you want to believe, this is what they're doing. And I would listen to him throughout the years and take it all in, and he was always right. So if you get the chance, please check out his Facebook page, follow him. He knows what he's talking about. He's a wonderful leader, he's a wonderful writer, and above all, he's a very, very genuine person. Lionel Rolf.
I'd like to give a shout out for Venice Beach and a shout out for Scotty. He's setting up his little tent there. Every Thursday, we're having from 10 o'clock till sundown, and we'll be out there on the beach interviewing people, taking pictures, and just doing our thing for peace. So any of you out there that would like to volunteer and come and do that, so elaborate a little bit for me, will you, Scotty?
Sure, buddy. We have a kiosk that we put up right on Venice Walk, 1101 Oceanfront Walk. The cross street is Wavecrest. And what we do there is we collect signatures from all of those tourists from all over the world. And we talk about peace. We also have a few little Peace Now items that we sell there. We are a not-for-profit, and we're dependent upon those donations that come in for those items and the donations that we receive on our website. So that's what we'll be doing each Thursday. And I also want to mention that we do have a Facebook page that we're very active on. It's facebook.com/peacenowcommunity, because we are one global community. We've got 41,000 likes, and we're looking for you to like us as well. But you actually sign the petition at peacenow.com. So that's what we're doing each Thursday, buddy.
And okay, Rose, go ahead.
Yes, and I have to give a very special shout-out for the mental health advocacy group that I have been actively involved in for 7 years. Please check out their website at lacclientcoalition.org. lacclientcoalition.org. They're a wonderful support group, and they have meetings third Friday of each month. We will have one this Friday at 550 South Vermont Avenue, second floor conference room, from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m., and we will be having our torch passing, installing the new officers.
And I'd like to give a shout-out for Pam and Naba for doing an incredibly good job. And Pam, you haven't lost me. I think you just found me.
I can't say enough for Pam. She's chair of our group. I vice chair, and we have a new chair. We have a new vice chair. So it's quite a transition period. They'll always have me. I think they're stuck. So.
And for Dr. Sutherland.
Dr. Sutherland.
He's from Indiana.
Quick shout out. David. Quick shout out, because we've been talking a little, we mentioned a few times some things on Skid Row. People today, when we were out there, we saw a lot of folks with all their possessions out there. And that's a continuing problem. We just won a big victory. Let's give a shout out to the victory for homeless people to have our stuff not just seized by the police and tossed into trash bins. If you have your stuff on Skid Row and it's picked up, the city has to hold it for 90 days. And you can go to the drop-in center on Skid Row and pick it up. And we are working right now. So I want to give a shout out to people to call Mike Bonin, City Councilman Mike Bonin's office, and say, I have that on Skid Row. When are you going to get that for the homeless people in Venice who are facing a lot of attacks these days? Call Mike Bonin, say, support the homeless drop-in center for safe storage.
Okay. And I'd like to give a shout out for our crew back there that have been doing the pretty good work.
Thank you, guys.
I'm a very difficult person to work with because I really never know what I'm doing, but that's okay. But they help me because they don't know what they're doing either. So we get along really fine. They really do. I'm looking there at the studio and so forth. So I'm Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr., and thank all of you for coming and being with Skid Row. Occupy Skid Row with your faith, hope, and love.
Just watched and or listened to OccupySkidRow.us, a weekly VeteransNewsNet.us feature presented every Tuesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. You can talk or text to us at SkidRowStudios.com. You can talk to us at 1-800-893-9562 or text us at 1-310-266-9465. And that was your host, Chaplain Willis Buddy Clark Jr.